Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Powerball jackpot up to $1.55 billion as lottery losing streak continues. The Powerball jackpot climbed to an estimated $1.55 billion after no one matched the game's six numbers Saturday and won the giant prize. The numbers drawn Saturday night were 47, 54, 57, 60, 65, and red Powerball 19. The $1.55 billion prize is a sole winner who is paid through an annuity with annual checks over 30 years. Most jackpot winners opt for cash, which for the next drawing Monday night would be an estimated $679.8 million. The jackpot is now the world's fourth largest lottery prize after rolling over for 34 consecutive drawings since the last time someone won the top prize on July 19th. That streak trails the record of 41 draws set in 2021 and 2022. The scarcity of Powerball jackpot winners reflects the game's daunting odds of 1 in 292.2 million. Powerball is played in 45 states as well as Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Dates to remember. Reminders. Tuesday, October 10th is the last day to register to vote if you want to vote in the November election. And October 18th is an early release day for ECISD schools. Check with your school for the details of dismissal. For schools, OCA, OC Techs, Ector College Prep, and STEM Academy do not observe early release on this day, October 18th, for various reasons. Contact them directly to be sure of the date. ECISD trustees to consider property purchases related to bond. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees on Tuesday will consider taking action on purchasing two separate properties for a career and technical center and new middle school. In two separate items, supplemental agenda material says the board will be asked to discuss and take appropriate action regarding the purchase of real property. For construction, including but not limited to approval of an offer, authorization to negotiate and execute a contract for purchase, and other necessary and related documents, and approval of payment of the purchase price, closing costs, and other fees and expenses related to such purchase. The property purchases are part of the district's $4,436,109,000 bond up for vote November 7th. The property would be a career and technical center in the south part of the county and a new middle school in the west part of the county. Passage of the bond will not affect the tax rate. The bond will not affect the ECISD tax rate of $1.014 per $100 valuation. Last year's total tax rate was $1.17 per $100 valuation. People 65 and older will see zero tax impact. The only things that would change that is if you have added to or renovated your home or there is a change in state law, which hasn't happened. The bond is divided into three propositions and people can vote for all of them, one of them, or two of them. Chief Communications Officer Mike Adkins said details will be announced after the board takes action. In other business, the board will hear performance report presentations for schools ECISD is in partnership with Ector College Prep, STEM Academy, and the YMCA. On a separate item, the STEM team from the Curriculum and Instruction Department will present the impact the instructional framework have had after 2 years of implementation on the STAR and EOC data for 2022-2023. In addition, supplemental agenda material says they will celebrate the improvements in math and address how the team addresses improving the master's level for STAR and the end-of-course exams. In addition, they will share the work and support provided to teachers and schools to ensure teachers know how to leverage the Cal Ripken Senior STEM Labs provided by the Permian Strategic Partnership and Amazon Future Engineer and Boot Up Professional Development. In addition, the team will share some exciting events provided for our science teachers during the fall semester, the material said. A presentation on benefits also is scheduled. The Bosworth Company celebrates community, honors veterans, and extends gratitude through Feel the Love program. The Bosworth Company has always considered its heart to be its people, employees, customers, and community members alike. In its fifth year, Feel the Love invited the community to nominate a veteran, a true symbol of valor and sacrifice. These veterans are individuals who have served in the armed forces of the United States, including the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. The 2023 Feel the Love nominee is an Army veteran, Michael Paul Hall. During his service in Afghanistan, he was wounded by shrapnel, which remains in his leg. Michael is a loving husband and a father of five beautiful children. His eldest son has graduated from Midland High School. Two of his younger boys excel in football, and their youngest daughter is a talented pianist. Michael has dedicated the last 8 years of his career to a measurement specialist and medallion midstream. His family, friends, and co-workers nominated him for his selfless character, unwavering commitment to providing his family, being an exceptional husband, and an incredible father. Feel the Love is a program that embodies our dedication to the community and honors the heroes among us. In partnership with Lennox, the company selected local families who have selflessly dedicated themselves to professions such as first responders, veterans, teachers, or nurses, making a significant difference in our lives. This program extends to Helping Hands to Those Heroes by Lennox, providing a brand new air conditioning and heating system, with the Bosworth Company offering their expertise free of charge. The Feel the Love program takes immense pride in supporting heroes like Michael P. Hall, a press release said. Rayos is excited at chance for new life. While the reality still hasn't sunk in quite yet, James Rayos is already looking to the future. It's a future in which he wants to help others who, like him, were wrongly convicted of a crime and sent to prison. On Wednesday, the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals declared Rayos innocent of the 1981 murder of Father Patrick Ryan, a murder he spent 20 years in prison for. Rayos, 66, was convicted of beating Ryan, 49, to death at the Sage and Sand Motel in Odessa by an Ector County jury in June 1983 and sentenced to 38 years in prison. He served two decades before being paroled. In March, attorneys from the Innocence Project of Texas put witness after witness on the stand in Ector County District Court Dan Whalen's courtroom. Each one testified there is absolutely no way Rayos could be responsible for the December 21, 1981 death of the Denver City priest. Moreover, they said, recently discovered fingerprints link three dead men to the murder. After weighing that evidence, Whalen recommended in August the conviction be set aside in a 57-page document called Findings of Fact and Conclusions of Law. It's still sinking in, Rayos said Thursday morning in a telephone interview, but I'm very elated and so happy this day has finally come. It's a long time overdue, but I had patience. He can now move on, finally free of the false accusations against him, Rayo said. Today's a very joyous day for me, Rayo said, noting it's also a joyous day for everyone who worked so hard to prove his innocence. Legally, there are a few other things that need to happen, Rayo's attorney, Allison Clayton, said. The Ector County District Attorney's Office needs to file a motion to dismiss the indictment against him stating his innocence, and within 10 days of that filing, a hearing on the matter will have to be scheduled, Clayton said. Well, Whalen will then have to sign an order dismissing it. Since prosecutors and the judge have already made their opinions known, that won't be an issue, she said. Once the order is signed, the law requires the state to pay Rayos a lump sum of roughly $2.2 million and $80,000 a year for the rest of his life, Clayton said. Rayos said he plans to celebrate the court's decision with a nice steak dinner. As for the money, that was never tantamount to me. This has always been about getting justice. But I plan to use the money to help others who are in the same boat I was, sent to prison after being wrongly convicted, Rayo said. He intends to donate the funds to the Innocence Project of Texas and the Innocence Project in his home state of New Mexico. Following Whalen's decision in August, Clayton said the high court could take years to render its decision. I was shocked, absolutely shocked, when it came so quickly, Clayton said. While she'd like to think they made the decision because it was a slam dunk, she's also realistic enough to know that all of the publicity about the case could have played an important role too, Clayton said. Judges are politicians, she said. A documentary is in the works about the case, but it has received massive media attention since December 1991, when the prosecutor who represented the state during the appellate process came to the conclusion Rayos was innocent. That attorney, Dennis Cadra, sent a letter to then-Governor Ann Richards asking for Rayos's conviction to be overturned. His widow, Yvonne, attended Friday's hearing. Cadra's attempt to get the conviction overturned was unsuccessful, but his attempts started a snowball effect. Ryan's supervisor, a bishop, came out in support of Rayos, as did members of both the New Mexico and Texas legislatures. Journalists from the Austin American-Statesman and Houston Chronicle wrote about the case. A book was published and A&E did a segment on Rayos. His plight was also featured on numerous podcasts. Odessa Police Chief Michael Gerke testified in March. His son, daughter-in-law, and daughter came to him last year after listening to a podcast about Rayos' case and asked detectives to pull the file. After reading it, Gerke said he wondered where the rest of the file was because there wasn't any evidence to support Rayos' conviction. Not only was there no physical evidence linking Rayos to the crime scene or Odessa, there was actually evidence proving he was in New Mexico at the time of the murder. Gerke asked detectives in his office to go over the file too, and when they came to the same conclusion, they brought in the Ector County's District Attorney's Office. According to court testimony, Rayos and Ryan were both living in Denver City in 1981. When Ryan gave Rayos a ride to his impounded truck in Hobbs, New Mexico, on the morning of December 21, 1981. The next morning, a maid found Ryan's battered body, his arms tied behind his back, inside the motel room he'd rented under a false name using a false license plate number. A silver chalice and an accordion were missing from the room and never found. The Ireland native's stolen car was found at a Moose Lodge in Hobbs, New Mexico, and his wallet and a bloody credit card were found at a nearby gas station. 11 months later, a drunk and stoned Rayos, then 27, called Albuquerque police and confessed to killing the priest with whom he'd had a sexual encounter, he then recanted. During the March hearing, John Smith testified he and his fellow defense attorney, John Cliff, were shocked, infuriated, and nonplussed at the jury's guilty verdict and sentence. He suspects they chose to convict Reyes because of his homosexuality, which they had tried unsuccessfully to keep out of the trial. Also during the hearing, OPD's Sergeant Scotty Smith reminded Whalen of the evidence Smith and Cliff presented at Reyes's trial. While it's unclear from court transcripts exactly when Ryan died, they know he died between 5:30 p.m. and 11 p.m. December 21, 1981, the sergeant testified. Reyes had a confirmed alibi for 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. that night. He was in Roswell with a friend, and at midnight, he was receiving a ticket west of Roswell for speeding, Smith said. Since it's 3 hours and 20 minutes from Roswell to Odessa, there's no way Reyes could have made it from Roswell to Odessa back to Roswell in that time frame, the sergeant said. An added wrinkle to the timeline is Reyes couldn't drive two vehicles at once, and Ryan's car was found in Hobbs. A former OPD fingerprint analyst, Stacy Kennedy, said that although everyone believed all of the fingerprints lifted from the crime scene had been destroyed, she found 11 fingerprint cards and photos of 6 latent prints. 7 of the fingerprint cards could be entered into an FBI database that didn't exist in the early 80s. Thanks to a combination of the new technology and old-fashioned eyeball comparisons, Kennedy said she was able to determine that bloody prints found in the room belonged to 3 dead men. Clayton said she strongly believes the men can be linked to the murders of 7 other priests and members of the clergy in Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. However, because Reyes has now been declared innocent, she doesn't believe she has the leverage necessary to get law enforcement agencies to dig further into her theory, Clayton said. We were just looking at essentially unsolved crimes that all have, I believe, very marked similarities, she said. It's sad none of the men will be brought to justice, but she's beyond thrilled for Reyes. This is why we do this work. This work is so hard and it's so demoralizing. We see the absolute best and worst of humanity, but it's these kinds of victories that make it all worth it, Clayton said. It's just such an honor to be able to fight for somebody like James and being able to get a favorable outcome for them career-wise is what I live for. It's just wonderful. Fellowship of Christian Athletes Permian Basin sets Fields of Faith 2023. The Permian Basin Fellowship of Christian Athletes 2023 Fields of Faith will feature 7 p.m. October 11th, Memorial Stadium, Midland, John Poe. 6 p.m. October 18th, The Mustang Bowl, Andrews, Ray Lewis. 7 p.m. November 1st, Badger Stadium, McCamey, Taylor Nunez. The events are brought to you by the Preserve at Midland, a new project featuring retail and family-friendly gathering place at the former Nueva Vista Golf Club. Fields of Faith is a peer-to-peer movement where thousands of students from across the nation and world gather on their school's athletic field to share faith stories, the gospel message, and challenge each other to apply the Bible as their game plan for life. Unaccompanied veteran burial set at Coastal Bend State Veteran Cemetery. The Coastal Bend State Veteran Cemetery will conduct an unaccompanied veteran burial for U.S. Navy veteran ships serviceman Seaman Clinton Johnson at 11 a.m. sharp, October 13th. Born on April 2, 1949, SHSN Johnson served from April 1970 to July 1974 and again from April 1984 to November 1985. SHSN Johnson received the Good Conduct Medal, Navy Expeditionary Medal, and National Defense Service Medal. SHS and Johnson is not expected to have any next of kin attend his burial. Help us spread the word and ensure that this U.S. Navy veteran is not buried alone. Members of the Corpus Christi community are encouraged to attend. SHSN Johnson will receive military honors. If no next of kin is present at the burial, a Veterans Land Board representative will accept the United States flag on his behalf. Midland police make arrests in connection with murder. On October 9th at 4:14 a.m., officers with the Midland Police Department responded to a call at 4508 North Big Spring Street in reference to a deceased male. Upon arrival, officers found the body of Raul Ortega, 25, behind the convenience store. The preliminary investigation revealed Ortega was fatally beaten, a news release said. Officers made two arrests in connection with the murder, Carlos Diaz, Jr., 22, and Angel Alvarado, 19, are being held in the Midland County Detention Center. Next of kin has been notified. The investigation is still ongoing. Man killed in Thursday crash. A 35-year-old Horseshoe Bay man was killed, and an Odessa woman was injured in a two-vehicle crash Thursday morning. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Kyle Wayne Stewart was driving north on U.S. 385 in a Jeep Wrangler when he failed to control his speed and rear-ended a Mercury Grand Marquis being driven by a 28-year-old Odessa woman around 11:30 a.m. Stewart, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash 4 miles south of Odessa, and the woman was taken to Medical Center Hospital in stable condition.
Man killed in Thursday's crash. A 35-year-old man from Horseshoe Bay was killed, and an Odessa woman was injured in a two-vehicle crash Thursday morning. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Kyle Wayne Stewart was driving north on U.S. 385 in a Jeep Wrangler when he failed to control the speed and rear-ended a Mercury Grand Marquis being driven by a 28-year-old Odessa woman around 11:30 a.m. Stewart, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash 4 miles south of Odessa, and the woman was taken to Medical Center Hospital in stable condition. Monday holiday. More dates to remember. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Monday is a holiday for most of our school district. Schools and offices will be closed for Columbus Day, October 9th. However, our two early college high schools, OC Techs and Odessa Collegiate Academy, plus Hector College Prep Middle School will be in session and will have this off day later. Two other reminders. Tuesday, October 10th, is the last day to register to vote if you want to vote in the November election. And October 18th is an early release day for ECISD schools. Check with your school for the details of dismissal. Four schools, OCA, OC Techs, Hector College Prep, and STEM Academy, do not observe early release on this day, October 18th, for various reasons. Contact them directly to be sure of the date.
This is the Dear Abby column. Husband's family largely absent from kids' lives. Dear Abby, my husband and I have two children and live close to my family. We spend lots of quality time with them, and they are invested in our children's lives, as we are in theirs. The same is not true of my in-laws. The first few years, I would FaceTime and call, trying to build a relationship. Eventually, I realized I was the only one making an effort, so I stopped calling, which means there are no more calls. The first cousin on my husband's side is due to give birth, and my husband wants to skip my nephew's first birthday party for her gender reveal party. My argument is, they have put no effort into our lives or our kids, so why would we miss an event for people who do? His argument is that they don't ask for much, and we see them only twice a year, so we should just go. Help. Signed, Easy Decision in Minnesota. Dear Easy Decision, not only do his relatives not ask for much, but they give absolutely nothing. Rather than argue about this, attend your nephew's first birthday party and tell your husband to go to the gender reveal. Problem solved. Dear Abby, I am a young woman who was born with cerebral palsy. As such, I struggle to run or walk at the same pace as others do, and I have an uneven sense of balance when carrying things. For my entire childhood, my parents insisted those around me treat me as if nothing was wrong. I hope to become more independent, driving, college, and the like, and sometimes I worry the physical strain will be too much for me. How do I swallow my pride and ask for some guidance? Who should I talk to? Signed, Not Ready to Reach Out. Dear Not Ready, asking for guidance should not involve swallowing your pride. Everyone has limitations in one area or another. One excellent place to look for guidance would be the student health center at the college you would be attending. Another would be the Cerebral Palsy Foundation, your cpf.org. Having the good sense to ask for help isn't a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength and intelligence. Dear Abby, my friend dresses like a slob. We were on a cruise and went to dine in one of the upscale restaurants on the ship. Because she was wearing jean shorts and an old faded t-shirt, we were asked to leave. We will be going on another cruise soon, and I'm concerned she will do this again. Any advice for our next cruise so this won't happen? Signed, Embarrassed in Alabama. Dear Embarrassed, before the next cruise, ask your friend what she plans to bring with her. Remind her that you had to leave the upscale restaurant because she wasn't properly dressed, and suggest she bring a dress or skirt and blouse on your next trip so neither of you will be embarrassed or inconvenienced. Most cruise lines have a dress code that spells out what attire is required. If your friend checks the website of the carrier, she can easily determine what to bring. Dear Abby is written by Abigail Van Buren, also known as Jean Phillips, and was founded by her mother, Pauline Phillips. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.